So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 23. Sri Shukavacha Atainam Atmajam Viksya Mahapurusha Lakshanam Devaki Tam Upadava Kamsad Bita Suvishmita Sri Shukavacha Sri Shukadeva Goswami said Atta after this offering of prayers by
Vasudeva
Enam this Krishna Atmajam, their son, Riksha, observing, Mahapurusha Lakshanam, with all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Devaki, Krishna's mother, Tam, unto him, Krishna, Padavat, offered prayers Kangsat of Kangsa Bita being afraid Suvishmita and also being astonished by seeing such a wonderful child. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa, unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Purport. The word Suvishmita, meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband, Vasudeva, were assured that the child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa. But because of affection, as they thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities, they were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word Suvishmita has been used. Similarly, we are also astonished upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the Asuras or will continue to advance without fear. So the translation again, Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Why does someone not die sooner than later? One has to be healthy. And what is healthy? Just like in our body, there are different systems. We have the nervous system. We have the respiratory system. We have the skeletal system. There are nine, according to the Western scientists, anatomists, there are nine different systems in the body. So how do we know when the body is healthy? Because there's balance. If any of the systems becomes too prominent over the other ones, then there's imbalance. For instance, when devotees first join the Hare Krishna movement, generally there's an imbalance in the digestive system. Prabhupada even seemed to encourage that at the very beginning. He said that the new devotees should eat like ducks until they waddle. But often when one eats too much, then one becomes sick because there's imbalance. And when one goes to the medical doctor, a proper one, then they prescribe some regimen which brings the systems back into balance. Similarly, the body of Krishna, because Prabhupada is written in this 10th canto, that Krishna has entered into the womb of the Hare Krishna movement. And therefore Krishna is present here. And in order to Krishna to be healthy, well, because Krishna is always healthy, in order for the movement to be healthy on behalf of Krishna, there must be some balance in the systems. So what are the systems in the Hare Krishna movement? There is the membership, there's the ministry, well not ministry, let's start with, there is the small groups or hearing about Krishna, the process of hearing and chanting, then we have the process of developing spiritual habits, then we have the process of doing service, and then we have the process of missionary work. If there is an imbalance in these systems, then one cannot be fully nourished. If all we're doing is hearing and chanting, and we don't do anything else besides that, then the result is that we won't get the nourishment of developing spiritual habits, increasing our concentration and our feeling when we're chanting, and then we won't be inspired for service to Krishna, because service to Krishna means, ultimately, inspiring people to hear and chant. But if we don't hear and chant in such a way as to be happy when we're hearing and chanting, and happiness, of course, means different things. If we're less bewildered when we're chanting, then we feel better than we did yesterday. If we can chant and hear with less distraction, less anxiety, then the result is we feel better than yesterday, and therefore that's progress. We may not hear and chant perfectly, hear every sound, vibration, and chant it with great feeling, but if we had a little feeling, a little bit of awareness, that we're not chanting to some letters of the alphabet, we're actually chanting to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, a little bit of remembrance of that, that's called Krishna consciousness. And by doing such practice, one will improve one's spiritual habits, because if we hear and chant and we get better experience from doing that, then the result is we'll be more inclined to do what's necessary in order to hear and chant better tomorrow. Then when there's a big pizza party at 12 o'clock at night, for whatever the celebration is, then we'll only take 5 pieces of pizza rather than 10. Because we know tomorrow we have to hear and chant again, and I may be a little bit pizzerized if I eat too many pizza. And what to speak, but we top it off with 5 cups of ice cream, just to make sure the pizza gets digested. Because we shouldn't talk like that on a Neil Jalakadasi. In any case, the idea is to, if we hear and chant nicely, we hear especially nicely. Just hearing itself means that we're developing relationships with the devotees we're hearing from. Generally speaking, our minds, we don't like the person who's giving the lecture, then immediately our minds turn off. And we start cursing the person. Why are you taking so long? You're torturing me with your lecture. I'm suffering and it's all your fault because you're talking about Krishna. Just by hearing from others, being receptive, and what to speak, if we actually get some transcendental pleasure by hearing them chant, then immediately our heart will soften and we'll think, well, he or she is not as bad as I thought they are. They're bad, but not as bad as I thought they were. Then our relationships at least make some progress. We actually develop some kind of sangha with others, positive sangha. Then, when we actually see that our habits that we're doing, when we get up, when we go to sleep, what we do before we go to sleep, what we do after we wake up, what we do during the day, these habits are all going to affect how we hear and chant. Then if we hear and chant nicely and we actually get some transcendental happiness from that, and we become convinced of yaktakala tvam, that I should not waste my time, I should actually hear and chant about Krishna and serve Krishna steadily, then our service attitude will improve. And as our service attitude improves, then Krishna reciprocates. Krishna reciprocates any kind of effort we make on any stage. And then we can actually develop some inspiration to tell others about Krishna, because we have something to tell them, some realization. If every day we're hearing and chanting, as I usually say, schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. And we go up, hey, are you chanting, hey, kitty, kitty, schnick, schnick, ram, ram? It's fantastic. I'm doing it 16 rounds a day. No, if you actually get some experience from chanting, from service, from fixing our minds upon Krishna through spiritual habits, then we're inspired to tell others how nice it is. Because when we tell others how nice it is, it reminds us how nice it is. Otherwise, then when we have to face others and tell them about Krishna consciousness, and if we're suffering, when we engage in devotional service, then we're going to complain during the whole class. I'm suffering, I'm suffering. Help me. Hare Krishna is not susukam kartum avyam. It's not everlasting and joyfully performed. It's a torture. And because my bad sinful habits, I entered into sinful deeds in the past, I became a member of the Hare Krishna movement, and I spend my days torturing myself due to my past sinful activities. No, it has to be joyful, and it's only joyful if we make an effort, and then Krishna reciprocates, and it, at least it'll become less stressful than the day before, and eventually it may even become happiness. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yat taragre vishamiva parinami ritopamam tatsukam satyakam protam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning can be bitter like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So it's not expected that suddenly by just chanting, trying to chant Hare Krishna, there will just be a flood of happiness. The whole world will become Vishvam Sukha Vijaya, Vishvam Sukha, Vishvam, Vishvam, Vishvam Sukha Sanjayata. Well, excuse me. The whole world, according to Prabodhananda Saraswati, Vishvam Sukham Vishvam, something like that. The whole world becomes full of happiness. It's not possible, because as long as we're conditioned by the material nature, especially in ignorance and passion, then the result is that there's going to be some distress under different circumstances, because we're not focused on Krishna. Even for a great soul like Prahlad Maharaj or Ambarish Maharaj, physically or even mentally there may have been some distress, but because they were absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they didn't even notice the distress. So if we're not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, this body has been made in such a way as to cause the suffering. And the mind has been constructed in such a way as to be very sympathetic to the needs of the body and focus our minds upon the needs of the body and concoct different desires that are useless. And then suffer because we're not satisfying those needs. But if we're actually blissfully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, which means basically speaking, trying to do something for Krishna, trying to control the senses, not trying to be simply following the impulses of the senses. Satisfying them is necessary, but not unnecessarily. And then hopefully remembering something about Krishna. Remembering how he's the light and the sun and the moon, he's the ability of man, something about Krishna, and therefore getting Krishna's association. Then one can experience a little bit of freedom from distress, a little bit of progress in Krishna consciousness. It's not so important to become a pure devotee overnight. It's much more important to feel a little bit of progress, that the goal may be far away, but at least I'm taking baby steps towards it, rather than away from it. And therefore I know, eventually if I keep on taking the same steps, I'll get to the goal. And the goal is unlimited happiness, which goes on forever, with ever-expanding consciousness and awareness of how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful everything is. And Prabhupada said, if we're feeling morose, it's a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. And if we're happy, and if we're joyful in the process, that's a very good sign. That's a sign of becoming normal. Not that we should increase our temperature, our distress, and therefore that's the sign of making progress. As one lady told another lady, well, one lady had a maid, she was sick, she had a high temperature. So she called the doctor. So the doctor came and took her temperature of her maid, and her maid's temperature was 105. So this lady was also feeling bad, and the doctor took her temperature, and she was 103. That's Fahrenheit. I don't know, it's 35 or 37 or 38 centigrade, I don't remember. Anyhow, so the lady who was in charge of the house, she became envious. Why is my maid, she has a higher temperature than I do? So we look at the world and we see people engaged in sense gratification, working hard like dogs to get a big house, have some nice car and some influence in the material world, and we become envious. Why is their temperature high, material temperature higher than mine? I'm living a simple life and I'm happy in Krishna consciousness, but I'm envious. I should have everything. I should have all material opulence and pure Krishna consciousness at the same time. Someone has to realize that real happiness is internal, and that's what our progress is, not simply externally going from one external accomplishment in Krishna consciousness society to the next, one material position to the next, one service to the next. It's the internal awareness of how to hear and chant better, how to develop more spiritual habits, so that I'm always aware of Krishna, I'm always working for Krishna, I'm not wasting time, and I'm developing, I actually like what I'm doing for Krishna. I'm satisfied, whatever it is. The gopis are sowing flowers. There's no upward mobility for the gopis. That if they sow the flowers nicely, then they'll be charged with the ashram after some time. They'll become the temple commandee in the ashram because they were sowing nice flowers and they cooked nice prasadam for Krishna. Now they've been elevated to a regional secretary in Vrindavan. Now they're in charge of so many other gopis. So all the gopis, the cowboys, Mother Jasoda, they're all satisfied with their service because it's done out of love for Krishna. And therefore, love means that one is actually, what more can we do than manifest our full desire, our full propensity to love? Is there anything that's more desirable than that? How many awards do we have to get in order to be satisfied? We may be stone-hearted, but I have a lot of rewards on my wall. But if we're actually in love with Krishna, the most wonderful personality, and we can experience his unlimited love, what more can we ask for? What more are the poets singing about? What are the movies about? At the end of the story, the man leaves his wife and children, abandons them, and then he gets awarded a Nobel Prize, and he lives happily ever after. Is that the way the movies usually end? No, there's always the two lovers, they leave into the sunset, and they live happily, at least as long as the movie goes on, ever after. But that's really what we're trying to develop, and that's what everyone is actually trying to develop. All the other things are just paraphernalia to attract love and attention. And if we follow the process of devotional service and our lives become balanced in Krishna consciousness, then our society will become more healthy. Not that all the cells are suffering and dying, but the body is strong. So everyone is important, and if we want to be part of the of Krishna's body, then we have to hear and chant, we have to develop spiritual habits, we have to do enthusiastic service, meaningful, productive service, and we actually have to develop a burning desire to help others become Krishna conscious, because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. If we're getting closer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we should feel his burning desire to become Krishna, to help others become Krishna conscious, and therefore that should become part of our consciousness. If we enter into fire, we have to become like fire. And when we're in the fire, if we're going to stay there, we have to be like fire. So we want to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the manifestation of Srimati Radharani's mercy in this age, then we have to become merciful too. We have to become compassionate. But that can only be developed by the process of developing our bhakti. It can't be developed all at once. It's not the good fairy comes with her magic wand and hits us on the head and we're blessed with deep Krishna consciousness absorption. It is a very practical process that everyone can follow themselves. For instance, if we just, during the day, if we just sit down for 5 minutes and write down what we're supposed to do for today, everything we should be doing, everything we could be doing, everything we'd like to be doing, and then arrange it in order to do it, then our day will be much more Krishna conscious. And we just do it spontaneously, whatever the wind blows, we follow. Then the result is we'll follow our mind all around the universe till we land into our bed at night. And when we look back, we'll think, well, I don't know what I did, but I ate prasadam. Although, somehow or another, if I'm following Bhima Kadasi, even that I didn't do today. So we should try just little things to make our lives more practical in Krishna consciousness. It goes a long way to becoming Krishna conscious. We don't have to become great scholars. We don't have to become great kirtan leaders or lecturers. We just have to do little things so we become Krishna conscious. And then Krishna will be happy, and we'll be happy, and we'll know how to make others happy too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
Yes. You said that we should chant Hare Krishna to Radha Krishna. I was thinking, can we chant to Lord Chaitanya?
Yeah, it's not sinful to chant to Lord Chaitanya, but not 16 rounds of Lord Chaitanya.
No, but chant Hare Krishna in the mode of chanting to Lord Chaitanya.
Well, why do that? Radha and Krishna here are going to say, well, too bad you're here, I wish Lord Chaitanya would come. No, we're chanting Hare Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. So if we remember Lord Chaitanya, it's not sinful. But we're chanting to Radha and Krishna. We're not chanting to Lord Chaitanya. That's Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. If you want to chant to Lord Chaitanya, chant the Panchatattva mantra. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita are about Lord Chaitanya remembering the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya is also there. It's not that they're just, you know, this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's all about Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. It's about them, but it's also about Lord Chaitanya, who's always absorbed in them. And what to speak of Lord Chaitanya, why not Prabhupada, why not Bhaktisiddhanta? These things will come spontaneously, the remembrance of them. But we should do things appropriately. Not invent our own ideas of how to do things. When Lord Chaitanya was chanting Hare Krishna, then he was remembering Radha and Krishna. He wasn't remembering himself. So we should follow in his footsteps. And naturally, because we're chanting Hare Krishna in the line of the succession from Lord Chaitanya, we'll remember those who have given us the Maha Mantra when we develop gratitude, all the way back to Lord Chaitanya, and in the mood of remembering Lord Chaitanya, in the absorption of remembering Lord Chaitanya spontaneously, and the Panchatattva will be absorbed in their mood of separation from Radha and Krishna. And that's perfection. They'll all be there simultaneously. Anything else? Okay. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.